Good morning. I greet you this wonderful morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Clarence William Page of the Trinity Baptist Church, Greensboro, High Point, Guilford County, North Carolina, and the world, and wherever man is found. Those are the parameters. I'm located in High Point, North Carolina, but the ministry is directed to all people everywhere. So wherever you are, this ministry is directed to you. You hear also this ministry through the Light to Guide Our Feet broadcast and programs, and of course, they are 24/7, 365, by the grace of Almighty God, and I'm so thankful. That was my desire, and God has made it so. 24/7, 365, and should a year have 366 days on that day also. So I thank the Lord for this wonderful opportunity to speak with you early in the morning. Wonderful opportunity to speak with you early in the morning. I call your attention to the New Testament book of Acts, A-C-T-S. A-C-T-S in the New Testament. The New Testament book of Acts, which immediately follows the New Testament book of the Gospel according to John. A-C-T-S, the book of Acts, called the Acts of the Apostles. And indeed, it is the Acts of the Apostles. And particularly and with specificity to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And in Acts chapter 17, the reading begins at verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. And certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Other some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the Unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 34. Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 34. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father God, please bless every listening ear, whether they listen at the initial offering of this worship service or at any other times thereafter. O God, cause every listening experience to bless the listener through your Holy Spirit, to your glory and to their good. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father. Amen. My friends, I call you back to Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, let us begin reading at verse 26. Acts chapter 17, beginning reading at verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own ports have said, for we are also his offspring. Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, or silver, or stone, graven by art and man's device, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Acts chapter 17, verses 26 through 31. Acts chapter 17, verses 26 through 31. And for a short period, my friends, let's worship together, often worship using the topic title, All Men Everywhere. All Men Everywhere. Our topic and title for this worship service. I would observe, and in my mind I really believe, that of all the faith systems that have ever been presented, there is not one that is as easy as is Christianity. There is not one that is as easy to enter into as is Christianity. Not only is it easy to enter into, it is totally free. And it doesn't require many of the machinations that many other faiths require. Christianity is so easy and so simple to enter into, and so free that it almost seems too good to be true. After all one has to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. All one has to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. In John chapter 3, verse 16, we're told, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the message that the Apostle Paul and those who were ministering with him were carrying to strange places. Places where they had created their own idol gods. They had imagined in their imaginations what a god would be. Who had created their own religion, so to speak. Had made statues of stone, of gold, of silver, of iron, of many materials that man's hand could make, could find and make. And yet, here are these strangers coming in, talking about a God that we apparently are like. He told in Athens, Paul said, we are his offspring, not like silver and gold and stone that you make? In other words, one could extrapolate from what Paul said is that God is like us if we are like him. We're his offspring, his children, so to speak. And that was amazing. To many of them, the God was someone way up there or way out there or some deity in their minds that required great and magnificent effort to reach or to please, to satisfy. And here these men and some women are showing up saying there is the true God, and he loves you. And not only does he love you, he's not asking you to submit any material thing to him. He's not asking you to kill anyone or not even kill an animal and offer to him. He's not asking you to kill a bird, a goat, a lamb, a sheep. He is not asking you to kill anything to offer to him. As a matter of fact, he died for you in the form of his son and rose again to make your entry free, and you're attached to him, sure. He is like us and we are like him, though he is greater. And they couldn't imagine that. They could not, and even the faith from which it sprang, Judaism, many of them could not imagine that, though many of them believed. As a matter of fact, Paul and those were from that faith, and they had embraced this faith. Christianity is so amazing, so magnificent, so true, so free, so dynamic. And perhaps that's why it is opposed and has been opposed for more than 2,000 years. No other faith embodies what Christianity does. And so, to this very day, Christians are told to not speak to certain people, even children. Oh, we can't have it in school. It's so easy. It's so easy. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's what Christianity says. Doesn't ask you for a dollar. Doesn't ask you for a penny. It doesn't make you believe. It doesn't whip you if you don't. We don't even criticize you if you don't. We just offer our hands wide open with the free gift of Jesus Christ, and come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, it's the most unimaginably easy faith system to ever exist. And the reason it is because it's from Almighty God. Only Almighty God, only Almighty God could have imagined Christianity. Only Almighty God could have extended Christianity. Now, those of you who would say, oh, well, you never heard of the Gilgamesh traditions and this and that, and we see elements of this and that in it. No, that's not what I'm saying. There are those traditions that have some semblance in some aspects, but nothing, not one faith system compares with Christianity. As a matter of fact, Christianity is so easy that some who are in Christianity, some of the people who are Christians that we call denominations, have apparently tried to make it more amenable and believable by making it more difficult to get into. I won't try to name any of them, but you know of some of them that have more requirements than God has. But Christianity is so easy, so wonderful, so beautiful, so magnificent, so loving, so peaceful, so joyous, so truthful. Oh, Christianity is total faith bliss. To be a Christian, to be a Christian is absolutely blissful, even though we sometimes suffer horrible things. But to be a Christian is blissful. That's why Paul, one reason he was at Athens, he had gotten run out of some other places. He had to flee. Immediately before coming to Athens, the brethren in some other places had to get him out of there. The people were against him. Oh, and they were doing so much as to say, he's talking about a king other than our king. They couldn't imagine the kind of king that the Apostle Paul was talking about. They couldn't imagine, apparently, the kind of benefits and the kind of freedom. Oh, a king that gives so much freedom. Basically, in Christianity, all you have to do is believe him and obey him. Believe him and obey him. Believe him with all your heart, your mind, your strength, your soul. Believe him and obey him. That's what we Christians do. Those of you who don't go to church, never been to church, you may wonder, well, what do you all do in church? Well, first of all, there's a joy to get there. And then it's a joy to meet other people in whom dwells the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Ghost. And we go in and we are seated and in our presence there, we know we're in God's house and we conduct ourselves that way with reverence and godly fear in God's house. We are reverential and we have a godly fear, as the Apostle Paul talks about in the book of Hebrews. Reverence and godly fear. And we sing, because some of you have never been into a church. You've may seen it on TV, maybe. We sing. We pray. We sing praises to our God. We pray unto our God. We share with others in testimonies what our God has done for us. And then one who has been called, sent, and ordained will rise and remind us of who our God is and who we are and what he has commanded and what he expects of us. That's what church is. And we have such a great relief just being there. And we fellowship and we decide at other times, not at the worship service generally, how we're going to serve mankind, but most importantly, how we're going to let others know how easy it is and how blessed it is to be a Christian. And those who are in the congregation who are not Christians, we give them the opportunity to just get up and come forward and become a Christian. Well, Reverend, it's not that easy. Well, how much difficult is it, my friend? Reverend, it's not that easy. You got to repent of your sins. You got to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And, well, that's what one does. We tell them that they must be sorry for their sins, and we want them to say it. And so we give them the opportunity to confess with their mouths. We can't see their hearts, but they believe with their hearts and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, and they're saved. Well, Reverend, it's not that easy. Well, if it's not that easy, let me show you how easy it is. In the book of Romans, the next book from Acts, let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Because someone in some denomination is perhaps saying, Reverend, it's not that easy. You all make it seem so easy. It's not that easy. Let me read to you some of Romans, the book of Romans chapter 10. Beginning reading at verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, who had been a Jew in the Jewish religion, and who loved his people, the same Apostle Paul that I'm speaking about in Acts chapter 17, the same Apostle Paul who I'm sure would have taken the same message to Mars Hill in Athens. Why would he have taken a different message? The same man. The exact same man. Romans chapter 10, beginning reading at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. If my positions that I presented earlier in this service in terms of how easy it is to be saved. You didn't believe that. Believe this. This is the Bible. I was trying to explain it in a more succinct and though more general way. But you can replace what I said, my words. Don't replace God's word, but this is God's word. If you don't agree with what I said earlier about how easy it is, I ask you to agree with the word of God as it is laid out in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. I want to read part of it again to you, just in case you are considering. And it might seem too good to be true, but it is true. It is God's truth. Listen, Romans chapter 10, beginning reading at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. So my friends, it's just that easy. You don't have to get saved while I'm preaching. You can get saved an hour after you've participated in this worship service by listening. Or tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day. I would encourage you to do it now or immediately thereafter if you don't get to it right now. But all you have to do is talk to God. He's everywhere. And you do what they say here, what you are told here, the Apostle Paul, the same Apostle Paul. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not just with your mouth, but with your heart. And then confess it. You can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he rose that you might be justified before God. And how do you do it with your mouth? You tell, ideally you would tell a minister because you need to be baptized. You must confess. Well, believe and you confess. You can confess to God. You can confess to God. You can confess to God. But you need to confess that you've repented of your sins, that you've accepted him. Going back now to Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul says, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. All men everywhere, and that's generic. Men and women, all human beings, are commanded to repent. All human beings are commanded to repent. You are commanded to repent. And since it is a command, as long as you remain in unrepentance, you are sinning. Because when you disregard a command from God, you sin. And so let's look again at Acts chapter 17. verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And that command is just as good or just as real now as it was then. The command of all men to repent is in force at this very minute. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And that's women too. God commanded me to repent through this. God commands you to repent through that. And why? Because verse 31 says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And so the message for you today, my friend, is to get to be a Christian is not difficult. Not difficult at all. And inasmuch as you are commanded, as you clearly see here in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 30, inasmuch as you are commanded, not only you but all of us, are commanded to repent. It doesn't matter what faith you say you're in, or how long you've been in it, or how long your family has been in it. That doesn't matter. God says repent. He's the God who says, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Isaiah 45:22, I believe it is. God, the real God, the true God, Almighty God, the Holy God, the Ancient of Days, Eternal God, the God who is from everlasting to everlasting, the God who had no beginning and has no ending because he's eternal. Our minds, our finite minds, don't even understand how there can exist a being who had no beginning. Because then our minds begin to say, well, what was there before the beginning? And what was there before that? What was there before the beginning? And was there a time of no beginning? What on earth is it? We believe that everything has to have a beginning. And even the most intellectual among us would not dare imagine out loud what there was before there was nothing, and what there was before there was anything. Our minds, our finite human minds won't even try to go that far. Because if there was a beginning of it all, what was there before there was a beginning? And what was there before there was that? And what was there before there was that? What was there before there was something? And what was there before there was nothing? And what was there before there was nothing? Nothing. Our minds cannot imagine what there was before there was nothing. What there was, and I'm not talking about planet Earth. Oh, we can imagine that there was the cosmos and outer space, but we can't imagine what there was before there was the cosmos, what there was before there was outer space, and what there was before there was that, and what there was before there was that, what there was before the beginning, and what was there before the beginning of the was before the beginning. I know it sounds a little stupid. But when you really think about it, eternity is beyond the capability of the human mind to process properly. We must receive it, the concept of it, and the God of it by faith, because our minds don't have the answers. He's the God who is so great that he can make it so easy. He just says, believe on me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in so many words that he doesn't like evil and sin, but he judges sin. He has appointed a day. That's the God he is. You cannot escape that day unless you are saved, because if you appear before him unsaved, there's a whole other reality. He has a place for you to go that you don't even want to imagine how excruciatingly painful it is. A man there testified, he said, I am tormented in this flame. He had died from human life, and yet he had recollection of his human life. He had recollections of the names of people there. He had recollections that he had brothers. He had recollections that they were headed to where he was, and he wanted someone to go preach to them and say, don't go to where your brother went. Because he sent us to tell you, you don't want to be there. He said he is tormented in that flame. He wanted us to tell you. But the man was told that they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But the man in that condition, in that flame, said, nay, but if one went to them from the dead, they will believe. And the man of God said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one went to them from, though one rose from the dead. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. In so many words, went and told them. If someone rose from the dead, if you won't believe God's word now, if someone you knew rose from the dead and came back and told you that heaven is real, according to Abraham, you wouldn't believe that person. You wouldn't believe even if you went to their funeral. You wouldn't believe they were really dead. That's what apparently the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying if you won't believe the word of God as written down by the prophets, if you won't believe the Holy Bible, according to the Bible, according to Abraham, you wouldn't believe if somebody rose from the dead. But those of us who have taken the time to listen and to repent and to receive salvation, we believe the word of God. We believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And we don't need anyone to rise from the dead for us. I believe. Some people feel, well, they have to go to Israel and see the sights, and that's wonderful. I don't have to go to Israel. I have faith in Almighty God. I don't have to go there. I don't have to go there. I believe the word of God. I believe Jesus Christ. If you want to go, that's wonderful. But true faith will believe without seeing. Those who believe without seeing, that's great faith. And I'm not saying I have great faith, but I don't have a desire to say, well, let me go see if I can see the tomb of Jesus. I believe. Many of you have been, and that's wonderful. I'm not criticizing you. I believe. Not having seen the physical manifestation or the physical places, not that it wouldn't be nice to see them, but that's not a desire I have in order to believe. I believe. And I call you to believe today. I want you to believe that Jesus is the Christ. I want you to believe that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And that includes you. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. Let us pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, help every listener to understand that you command all men everywhere to repent, just as the Apostle Paul told them at Athens. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And Father, I pray that those who come across this message will repent and be saved. Those who are not saved will repent, believe the gospel, and be saved. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My friends, once you know you are saved, contact the Christian minister in our ministry. Receive Christian baptism. The Lord will send people to help you. Let us look unto the Lord and be dismissed. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.